And all of our teenagers may leave with, you don't play football? I think I want to go play football. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. This morning we're going to... My wife, very perceptive, said, the problem when you teach anything is... you always have a third to a half the people that weren't here last week. So how in the world do you ever get consistency where people are actually learning what I'm trying to teach? And the answer is, I don't know. So this morning I told my wife I was going to go to the office yesterday and I had written a bunch of stuff to deal with this whole concept of Galatians. And I said, I thought it would last one Sunday. Now it's probably two Sundays and maybe three. How does that sound? Do you know why? Because if you don't get this principle this morning, you're going to hear the exact opposite of what I'm teaching. And unfortunately, that's quite easy. We're going to stand, we're going to read Galatians 4, and then I'm going to borrow some guys to help me illustrate some issues. Is that all right? All right. Galatians 4, let's stand, please. And we'll begin reading in verse 3. For you that have been around for this is the fifth week, I think, we've been dealing with this. Everything I'm teaching actually started with this passage. And as I meditated on this passage, well, you've been here, you know. Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage or slavery under the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s. Which is the antithesis of Christianity, which is a living relationship with the living God, as opposed to, got my checklist, check, 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 everything's good. So he says basically all people find themselves in a position of under the elements of the world, the stoicheia. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, or born of a woman, born under the law, for the purpose of to redeem them that were under the law or under the stoicheia. So a little bit later, he's going to, you know, in Galatians 5, we'll see it too. He's not really interested if you come from a legalistic Judaic background, not biblical Judaism, but the Judaic, how things get morphed into of work salvation, or whether you come from a pagan background, you still tend to follow the checklist or the latter. But his real problem in Galatians 4 is what? Please look at me. He is really wondering if some people are really saved because they're still living that way. What happened? Well, let's keep reading. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Then he's like, huh? How be it then? When you knew not God, you did service, or you were enslaved to, them which by nature are no gods. Now see, he's talking to Galatian people that were pagans. He says, but now, after that you have known God, see, he's positing Christianity in a relational way, or rather, are known of or by God is really the truth. Then he asks this great, terrible question. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in slavery? You observe days, months, times and years. I am afraid, and as I said, this is just doesn't work in modern English. I am afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. All right. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can I borrow a few guys? Dada, I know you're just now really comfortable. I want to borrow you. Pastor Koa, can I borrow you? And old man, you know who you are. You can bring your notes if you want to. You're going to be up here just for a minute, so just bring your notes, nothing else, so you can read along with me. You two gentlemen, if you'll stand over on this side, you stand over on this side. Now, please forgive me. I've already told you it's impossible to point to your right because your right is over here, correct? But folks, doing that with your left hand and then, that'll just get me so confused. So you're going to have to see this as you're looking down at your page. Got it? The book of Galatians, in a nutshell, deals with the gospel. Look at me, please. And the implications of the gospel and the way that the Apostle Paul wants us to live the Christian life. The book of Galatians then deals with the three big problems that we have. Now, if you go back and listen for the past 2 weeks, you can get all the information. I'm not going to cover it all. What I'm going to have you do is see how Galatians deals with the three problems. The first problem is legalism. That's Galatians 1 and 2. That is simply people that don't get the gospel and think that somehow I work my way to heaven. Please look at me. I don't care if it's a false form of Judaism, Roman Catholicism, Church of Christism, or Buddhism. Makes no difference. See, you missed the point in Galatians. We'll see it in Galatians 5:7, where he says it's not circumcision or what? Which means I don't really care what the false religion is. It's all the same false religion. You have to work your way to heaven. That's the first great problem that Paul deals with. Chapter 1, chapter 2. All right, on the right side. And by the way, here's legalism right here. Pastor Koak is the epitome of legalism. Galatians 2, verse 16. Do you see it? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall how much? How many will be saved that way? Nobody. No flesh. By the way, please look at me. Do not get lost in the old Baptist nonsense that there's only one danger, legalism like Catholicism. Folks, every false religion is legalistic. You must do certain things in order to get to God. That's the problem. You're bound by laws, and if you do enough, if you keep my commandments, then I will love you. Okay? Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Friends, look here. That's legalism. Everybody got that? Galatians 3, Galatians 4 now moves to the second level. It's my friend over here, Rolando. He is legalism light. That's the problem. Please look. These are people that have heard the gospel. These are people that are supposedly have gotten it. But Paul is thinking, I'm afraid for some of you. I'm not sure you heard what I said. I'm not sure you got the gospel. And friend, our problem in an evangelical church is not legalism. Our problem is legalism light. And the fact, are you listening? That evangelical churches that are legalistic, legalism light, over time can actually become, how do we know this? You ever heard of Mennonites? By the way, Mennonites are a spectrum of beliefs, but the farther you go to the right, and the Amish are pure legalist. But they started out as evangelical. But the more of this kind of stuff where you start observing certain things, and look at me please, check in your boxes, I'm comfortable because I've checked my boxes. Don't you have a relationship with God? Well, look what Paul says. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? There's always a who involved, of course, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, or from you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? By the way, this is Galatians 3 and 4. Are you ready? This is legalism light. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made what? By the what? All right, folks, here it is. How were you saved? How were you saved? By grace alone, through faith alone, in? That's how we're saved. Then how in the world do you think you got saved that way and then you grow in grace or are sanctified a different way? That's right over here. So in the churches that I have been around, some lesser, some more, legalism light has always been a danger. Because we start having standards. We're going to talk about that this week and next week. The standards aren't wrong. But after a while, people revert to check marks. Check, check, check. I'm good. We have all kinds of ways of, and by the way, no relationship with the living God. Couldn't tell you in 10 years what they have learned from God. Because they're not in a relationship. They're checking boxes. To make sure all the other little Christianoids know they're okay. That's legalism light. And by the way, Paul says this. Are you hearing me? Paul says, I fear for you. I'm not sure have you gotten it. Those are the problems. Now, let me summarize this and we'll go to this guy. This can very quickly, over a couple of generations, become this. You find this in any group that holds to certain standards. And it can be just about anything. We don't have time to discuss that. Then there's the third problem. See, here we got people, legalism. We're not that. Oh, bless God, we're not legalism light. Oh, no, we're not that kind of a person. We are free in Jesus. So Paul has to address that stupid. By the way, in the problem with Lake County Baptist today, because some of us can't figure out how to get in the obedience mode. Because we don't have that relationship with God, the Scripture doesn't ever tell us anything. So we kind of float along looking for the least common denominator in order to plead. You know, I've checked all, I'm okay, because, no, this problem is liberalism light. By the way, they're saved by faith, faith alone. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called. Do you understand called? That's when you are called by name, personally, by the Lord Jesus, at a point in time, and you're called unto liberty, meaning you are now freed from what? The bondage of legalism and legalism light. But he says, only use not liberty or this freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by what, everybody? But by what? Do what? It's not that you don't serve God and you don't serve other people and you don't still follow Christ. It's you do it for totally different reasons. It's by, what's that word? Thank you. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. It's not checking boxes. It's the internal indwelling Holy Spirit, your relationship with the triune God. He says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5:18, it says, if you be led of the Spirit, and that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit leads you to the right parking place. No, that means the Holy Spirit leads you to follow Christ, leads you to obey Christ. It's a total different thing. Hey, folks, let's make it simple. I saw this morning Kayla. I see this morning, where is she at? Brenna? By the way, I love both of you young ladies. You know that. You still have good families. You're home under your family. But here's the scary thing. one day those girls will be totally away from home. Right now, to some degree, they're still under the authority of mom and dad. They're in transition. The beautiful thing is, are you listening? And I think in both of these cases, there's no question this will be true. 10 years from now, when these young ladies are married and are wherever they're at, school, whatever they're doing, and they're transitioning, and now it's all of a sudden, it's no longer, I'm under mom and dad. Now this is what? This is my own. This is my relationship with God. Does this not happen, folks? Yes or no? Oh, by the way, I got a bunch of young people here. I got two lovely young ladies over here. I got Luke over here. You do understand every one of you will have to make Christ and Christianity your own. Here's Cliffy's language. You got to own it. It can't be mommy's. It can't be the church. It can't be under anything. It has to be out of something. All right. Gentlemen, you may be seated. Thank you very much. Those are our three dangers. Legalism, Galatians 1 and 2. Legalism light, Galatians 4, 3 and 4. Liberalism light, 5 and 6. Now, folks, we finished with this last week. We will summarize at the top of your notes. I have the key verse. I would like you to read it with me, would you? Why don't we read it out loud together? Could we do that? For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Friends, that verse summarizes the entire message of Galatians. Now, the most important part of the verse is what's not underlined. Or not highlighted, excuse me. Why is it the most important? Paul is saying, I really don't care if you come from a pagan background or a Jewish background. That's not significant. I still remember years ago, a lady came here that was a Hindu. She eventually, over a period of time, got saved. I do not remember her name. I just remember this. She got saved on a Sunday. She came the following Sunday, and her husband lost his job, and they went back to India the second week. That's the last time I saw her. Friends, talking to that lady in my office about the gospel, she was a Hindu. But see, you're thinking, oh, no, that's exactly the same as your Catholicism. It's the same as your anything you're talking about. Every religion teaches you working your way to heaven. So Paul is saying, I don't really care if you come from the pagan background or you come from the Jewish background. That's not really the significant thing. And then what Paul does is he lists the three concepts in your notes. Faith. Now, by the way, faith here means it's summarizing. Remember, friends, by Galatians 5, Paul has spent four chapters talking about this. So he's now using language to summarize his conversation. It's not just faith. I'll give you the statement in a moment, but underneath that, what he's saying is faith, meaning sola gratia, which means by grace alone. Sola fide, which means through faith alone. Solus Christus, which means in Christ alone. So by faith, the whole Christian life is summarized in that little word, by faith. And what does it do? Friends, when we look at the three problems, that eliminates legalism. Legalism, you cannot do anything under any system. Whether that system's a Christian cult. You ever talk to a Seventh-day Adventist? You are saved by going to church on Saturday. Can I ask you a question? Are you saved by going to church on Sunday? You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, period. Don't get confused about the false religions. All false religions come back to, you got to do what we teach in order to get to heaven. Christ is, he might be there someplace, but he's set over in the corner. Biblical Christianity, the gospel, brings Christ and him crucified to the center. So legalism is eliminated. What does it say? It is faith which does what? Which does what? Which works. And that eliminates what? Look over here. Liberalism light. Why? Because there are many people that say, okay, you're saved. What do you do next? You're saved. No, he says the kind of faith we're talking about is a faith that follows Christ, that obeys Christ. It works. Not to get saved. That's already happened. You get saved at a point in time by trusting Christ and Him alone. But that faith works. And how does it work? It obeys Christ. It follows Christ. But here's the big difference. Legalism light. It's faith which works. What? What? So I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you do what you do? I already know who you are according to why you do what you do. This, when you mention the word love, meaning God's love for you and your love for God, you have then eliminated legalism light. Because legalism light, folks, look at me. You get saved by grace. Yes. I've been in those churches and they preach that, but you always feel like you're on trial. So the things you do to what? To attain somebody's favor. Maybe it's God's favor, maybe it's people's favor. But all of a sudden, your whole orientation is different. Now you do what you do because God loved you, you love Him. Can I say it this way? You actually want to do this? On New Year's Day, I don't know what, we always had our life organized until some backslidden friends of ours moved. Because on New Year's Day, we spent every New Year's for the entire time I were here with Pete and Sharon. I called them and I said, where are we meeting at? And they didn't have a good answer. But so we had to really step down in the world and have Amy and Jared over for New Year's. And folks, when we had Amy and Jared over, of course, they have these two little sons. And I really had to strain to go talk to those sons, right? You know, I know people that don't like to talk to their own kids. Actually, I know many people that don't have any relationship with any people, with anybody. Friends, you do what you do because of the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Have you not experienced it? For the love of Christ constrains me, Paul talks about 2 Corinthians 5. Friends, this is the gospel. Christianity is not working your way to heaven or, okay, I get saved by grace, but now I got to make sure I do all these things because if I don't, but it's also not this nonsense over here that I'm saved and now I don't know what I do. I do whatever I want to do. No. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, I am saved. That's salvation. That faith works. It continues to follow Christ. And not only that, it does so out of a heart of love. All right, is that enough summary? Yes or no? Can you get up here next week and say what I just said? Do you understand? By the way, this is a map. Do you all understand a map? It's not that difficult. You have 6 chapters in Galatians. 2 deals with legalism. 2 deals with legalism light. 2 deals with liberalism light. There you go. And the Christian life is none of the 3 at all. Now, I could talk, and I might talk about this in the future, because the problem is legalism light and biblical Christianity are going to share certain things. But the motivation is always different. All right. I'm going to continue this conversation in a different direction. Look, if you would, in your notes to the verses in the middle, Deuteronomy 5, please. I don't think we'll have much time to do all of this, but we will begin. And sadly, folks, I must make fun of the idea before we actually teach the idea. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 32. I'm going to read the next 2 verses, and then I'm going to have you think, and you tell me a very simple thing. What is the most important thing in the 2 verses? Okay. You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, that thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. By the way, the most important thing actually is not the question I'm asking. The most important thing is in verse 32 where the Bible says, you shall observe to do therefore the as the Lord your God, which assumes what? Who are you? Yes, thank you, Dada. You're obeying whom? But you're not obeying God for salvation. You're obeying God from salvation. God's already your God. Everybody got that? This is not working your way to heaven stuff, folks. God is already your God. But since he's already your God, therefore I want you to do some things. So would you say the most important thing in this passage is doing what? What? Obeying what? What God says to do. The Lord, but specifically what he says. How many of you agree with that? Our problem with everything I've taught you, I'm trying to teach you a map. Here's the map. Here's the path. Stay out of this ditch. Stay out of this ditch. But everything I've taught you can be totally perverted and will be perverted. So I'm going to have to talk about the perversion first. All right? I'd rather not. At the bottom of the page, we begin with what I don't mean. And I have it in your notes. What I don't mean is this. I've heard people say this. By the way, I try to avoid, as much as any man has ever tried to avoid, the word balance. Does anybody know why I try to avoid that word? Yes. I had a joke yesterday with Kevin Bowder. I said, Kevin, I got a question for you. Have you ever met a person that didn't think they were balanced? But the problem is, when you hear, I've taught this before, Christianity is a path. It's a path and not the tightrope. It's a path and not the ditch on either side. Here's the problem. People then come to, I need to live a balanced life. Sounds good, doesn't it? Does it sound good? I don't want to get in this ditch or that ditch. So what people do is, in order to define how they're going to live, they then do this, and I have it on both sides of your notes. They look at, for one extreme, and then they look for the other extreme, and then they say, truth must be in the middle. It must be, here's the word, balanced. I'm a balanced Christian. I am very balanced. Okay. Oh, by the way, let's go back to Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 12, 32. Outside of God being your God, what's the most important thing you're to do? What? Obey, keep, observe, do. Yes? See, that has nothing to do with balance. The problem is, well, next page. Now, folks, I read this in a book by a theologian. No Billy Jim Bob, a theologian on the subject of drinking. He said there are two extremes. The one extreme is the stumble down drunk. And what's the opposite of being a stumble down drunk? The teetotaler. You say, I don't know what that word means. That's a person who doesn't drink. So he's going to define, are you listening, his view of drinking by what he calls the two extremes. Please look at me in the eyes. There is no place in the Bible where you ever define truth this way. When I teach that Christianity is a path, I am not talking about you find the middle, and then you find the middle, and then you avoid the extremes. I'm talking about you find the Scripture, and you obey the Scripture. And you don't add to the Scripture or take from the Scripture. You don't turn to the right or to the left. I'm not talking about finding the middle. I love this. If I hadn't read this by intelligent people, I wouldn't think intelligent people would think this poorly. So here's what he basically said in your notes. I don't want to be a drunk or drinking to excess. I don't want to be one of those teetotalers. You know, by the way, and if you've ever seen a guy talk about this, you know, people that are teetotalers don't have fun. They're miserable. They sit around looking like they've been sucking on a dill pickle. Now, have I met a few people who don't drink like that? Yes. But you'll meet those kind of people every place. So he said, boy, you don't want to be that. Well, you obviously don't want to be a drunk, you know, getting in car wrecks, passing out in public, vomiting on people. So what's the middle? Here it is, folks. Drink. A person drinks in, what's the word? There you go. Drinks in moderation. I'll fill in that middle part in a moment. On the right-hand side, no alcohol as a beverage. By the way, a teetotaler doesn't have a problem with alcohol. I use alcohol regularly. You know, we use it as an antiseptic. We, you know, I have it in mouthwashers and many different places. Now, if you have a problem with drinking, you probably should get the kind that doesn't have alcohol if you're going to use mouthwash, because people drink mouthwash. But my friend, alcohol has many, many, many functions. And up until the last 50 years, it was one of the greatest. They used it for all kinds of solvents, all kinds of ways in medicine. We don't use it as much now. But, a teetotaler is simply this. No alcohol as a beverage, meaning you're drinking it for the effects. One who never drinks. Yeah, well, thank you, Tim. One who never drinks is the idea. Down at the bottom, but this is how people look at you. And everybody knows where this... By the way, if you come out on a Sunday night, whenever the restaurants open again, and you hang out with a group that eats out, you tell me if this is an anti... By the way, they think people that don't drink are antisocial. You just don't like to have fun. Can I have an amen? By the way, why do people drink? They want to have what? Now, here's the difference. I love to have fun. I think we have fun. I have pictures of Pachungay, if you don't believe me. I have good pictures of her to prove how much fun we've had. I got a picture. No, I can't even say that this morning. I have a bad picture of you with something in your hand, and you know what it is. Friends, I enjoy having fun. Planning on having some fun tonight. I'm going to have fun with my friends. But I'm also going to have the kind of fun that tomorrow I remember my fun. Can I have an amen? And look at me. And I'm not ashamed of my fun. So when tomorrow comes around, I'm not thinking, what did I say to that? I think we have fun. If you're around Cliff Cavallis, sometimes it just about goes across the border and becomes bad fun. If you get Robert back here and Louie together, you know you're going to have fun, but watch out. Friends, I like fun. But people, you don't drink, you must be antisocial. Can I ask you a question? Why do I have to drink to be around somebody I don't like? All the people I like, they don't have to drink, and I don't have to drink to be around them. You say, do you drink? Well, I mean, I can drink tea. Probably have some Diet Coke today. All right. I'm making some folks nervous. By the way, look at me, please. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to teach you this map is very biblical. Here's the map. Christianity is a path. But what is the path? It's the teaching of Scripture. It's not, well, we don't know what's in the path. We determine that by finding out what the one opposite and the other opposite. So if this opposite stumble down drunk, then I need to go over here where I can, I don't want to go over here because they don't have fun. So no, that's not the way truth is determined at all. On the left side, the person is a drunk or drinks to excess. And of course, by the way, folks, unless you are sleeping, have never had one single thought in your entire existence, have you ever met a drunk that admitted they drink to excess? I'm going to mention names in a minute because some of you listen to people on the radio and you don't know those people. And you don't read like I read. On the left, I also say this. These are people who are both social and unsocial drinking. And unsocial is not antisocial, friend, but you know what unsocial is. Can I ask you a question? How do you know somebody's an alcoholic? They drink alone. That's the scariest person on earth. And everybody I know that's a drunk drinks, look at me in the eyes, drinks alone. Some people drink just because they're uncomfortable in society, so they have to get lubricated to feel comfortable. I could preach a whole week, a month, a year just on that subject. Do you realize every problem you have right today comes from your childhood? You still haven't grown up. You still can't, look at me, still can't get along with people. Still can't deal with things. It's still all the angst of your teenage years. You've covered it up. Drinking. I can't stand it, but I just refuse to be around it. You say, but you're a pastor. I wasn't always a pastor. And I didn't drink then either. You say, why not? There's plenty of stuff to drink without getting, like I say, I want to wake up tomorrow morning when I come to school and I want to remember the fun I had and I don't want to be ashamed for any of it. How about you? In the middle, drinks in moderation. My first question, of course, is, does that mean you're moderately drunk? Tom, are you up there? Are you okay with people driving being moderately drunk? See, here's the problem. You realize churches, because the pastors are compromisers today, pastors will not talk about drinking in 95 to 99% of the churches in this area. They're just not going to talk about it. Because they got people that want to drink a little bit. And by the way, if you drink a little bit, I still love you, but I'm still going to preach against it. I'm going to be your friend. It scares me. We don't have time to discuss it, but what I'm really doing is not even talking about drinking. What am I talking about? How do you determine whether you should drink? From the Scripture, you don't determine it by saying, well, I don't want to be one of those no-fun people, and I don't want to be a drunk, so I'm just going to drink moderately. So I ask, moderately drunk, or how about this? This is my favorite. Kind of sober? All right, are you ready? How many of you have been on an airplane in the last year? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, Cassie, I love you. Cassie, are you okay if that pilot is just kind of sober? Is that okay? By the way, how much can that pilot have in his system? Zero. How about this? Fawn, you had surgery. Two of them. You okay with that surgeon being kind of sober? So if he walked up and you smelled alcohol, you're thinking, oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Friends, people say, well, Pastor Warren, you're just... Look at me, friends. There's no place in the Bible, no place, where the Bible allows you to be under the influence of alcohol. The Bible repeatedly commands you to be sober, to be on watch, to be on guard duty. It's not a sermon about preaching. I mean, about drinking, excuse me. By the way, it's all according to how you define drunkenness. That's my next statement. Michael Horton, he is a Reformed Presbyterian. I'm using specific names. Look at me in the eyes. Everybody, did I already recommend Ligonier Ministry to you, yes or no? All right, so we're going to talk about Ligonier too. Michael Horton, Presbyterian, he wants to play the game. Well, your problem when you play the game of drinking, you understand, it's not about alcohol being in the drink. If you have 2% alcohol, you could drink all day, tonight, tomorrow, and two more days, and all you do is go to the bathroom. The reason people drink is for the effect of alcohol. And the effect is what the Bible forbids. That's called the drunkenness or not being sober. So hear me, friends. Michael Horton says, you are not drunk unless you pass out, fall down, and can't get up. I'm like, where do they pull this out of? Now, listen to me, because I'm going to say this gently, because I can't stand Michael Horton. He's one of the few people that are theologians that I can do without, 100%, beginning to end. R.C. Sproul. R.C. Sproul did a series, it's a book, and he did a video series called The Holiness of God 40 years ago. R.C. Sproul's with the Lord today, by the way. Ligonier Ministries, good man. Presbyterian, but a lot of good material. On the gospel, he's always good. R.C. Sproul was a moderate drinker. I have a book at home where some reform guy is talking about the beauty of drinking. In are you listening? R.C. Sproul does the preface of the book. So I got a question for you. How's R.C. Sproul's son doing? He was the heir apparent of Ligonier Ministries until he was arrested for drunkenness and drunk driving. You cannot, by the way, there is no kind of drunkenness. Once you're, listen, I say this honestly to you, I never fear our people as long as you're sober. But even good people say stupid things with a little bit of lubrication. Now, what are you teaching? Are you preaching against drinking this morning? The answer would be yes. But that's not my point. What's my point? How do you determine what you follow? You obey what he says. So, folks, there is a danger on the right and on the left, but it's not find out one extreme, find out the other extreme, and then we'll stay in the middle. No. You find out what the Scripture says, and then you realize I can add to the Scripture or I can take away from the Scripture. That's the right and the left. Now, the next stuff in your notes is just Pastor Warren's full-hearted mockery. Next in your notes, I'm making fun of how not to do it. On the one side, there is the habitual liar. Nobody wants to be a habitual liar, correct? Have you ever met a person like this? When I was in boot camp and in core school, no, it wasn't core school, excuse me, where did we know each other at? Boot camp and hospital core school, yes. I actually work with a guy from Texas that was a habitual liar. What is the other term, Tim? What? Pathological, yes. When I say a habitual liar, he lied about everything. And after a while, you wonder why he lied about everything. It wore me out. He just lied about everything. Well, what's the opposite of a habitual liar? It's a truth teller. Well, we don't want to always tell the truth, do we? Do you understand this is not how you determine how to follow Christ? So, since you don't want to be on the extremes, you know, God knows I don't want to be an extremist. I don't want to be a habitual liar, and I don't want to be a truth teller. So, I guess the in the middle is what? I'm an occasional liar. Or PRN. You know, you're a teenage liar. Do you know PRN means pro re nata, which means as the occasion indicates? It's a medical term, right, Cassie? Right, Aton? We use it constantly. And by the way, folks, I don't lie all the time. Hey, how do you like this? Look at me. You go up to somebody, you stick out your hand and say, hi, my name is Ralph. I just want you to know I don't lie all the time. Good grief. No. Do you understand, folks? You can miss everything Pastor Warren has said. If you don't understand, I am not encouraging you in any fashion to look for the golden mean. Okay, let's continue. There's an extreme, a serial killer. We actually just had a serial killer die in prison. The opposite of that is, you know, is a peace lover, you know, meaning you don't kill people, I don't think. But we don't want to be extreme. So we in the middle, we kill kills, but only occasionally. are, you know, kills only, again, PRN. Is that okay? Do you see? Can I ask you a question? Do you see how ridiculous this sounds? But why does it sound so reasonable with drinking? Oh, I don't want to be a legalist and not drink. Those people have no fun. They're legalist. And I don't want to be a show. I'm a moderate drinker. I just get moderately drunk. Folks, this is not how you think as a Christian. It's not how Christians think. Christians always say, what saith the scripture? That establishes my path. And then we realize there's things on the wrong side over here and on the wrong side over here. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to discuss more of this. Let me give you the last one, and we'll pick up here next week. I don't want to be a kleptomaniac. By the way, kleptase is just the Greek word for stealing. Kleptomaniac is a person that cannot not steal. Have you met one? We used to have one in this church. Every place this individual went, they were stealing. On the far side, of course, is someone who never steals. It's Pastor Kowak. I guess he could steal, but he's so oblivious to things. He and I are pretty close to the same there. I remember Jan had some money in her office and somebody stole it, and I think he and I walked past it 1,000 times. I didn't even know there was money there. You say, why? Because it wasn't my money. Why would I take something that's not mine? But the klepto found it and stole it. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be an extremist, so I'm one who steals, but only as needed. Can I ask you a question and we're done? Can I ask you a question? If I next week walk up here and say, Christianity is a path, how do you determine the path? Scripture. That's the center, friends. Yes, the Bible always teaches there's a ditch on the right and there's a ditch on the left. There's adding to Scripture, there's taking from Scripture. But it's Scripture's what tells us what the path is, not, well, I don't want to be one of those folks that don't have fun. I'm going to say this, and we're going to break for till Sunday morning. I want you to have as much fun that's still fun the next day. Where there's no shame the next day. It's just good, old-fashioned enjoying the life God gives us. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to us now in Jesus' name.